Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Thursday afternoon, November 14th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. You can shop for and buy a home, or you can build one yourself. We'll look at the options in our next segment. But right now, reports on producer prices and jobless claims top today's data. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And even though the election and its conclusion seems like a significant psychological barrier, we're all thinking about the future, we're thinking about the change in power in Washington, but it seems like the trend of inflation as it existed prior to November 5th continues, and we saw that in the producer price index report this morning.
That's right. We continue to see inflation that is slowing. We had a very bout of high extended inflation a couple of years ago. We see inflation easing, and I think that we should probably be at the Federal Reserve's 2% objective in the spring. And producer price index wholesale prices, they were up a modest amount in October.
Now that we have the consumer price index and the producer price index, what does that, based on the back of the napkin math, what will the PCE index, the Fed's preferred gauge, what will that tell us later on?
I think we'll see another small increase in the PCE price index of 0.2% for October when we get that at the end of this month. I think we continue to see inflation that is above the Fed's 2% objective, but is gradually moving towards it. And that is giving the Fed the confidence to cut rates. So I would expect with inflation remaining under control that we'll see another quarter of a percentage point cut in the Fed funds rate when the Federal Open Market Committee meets in mid-December.
Now, when assessing that last mile problem in inflation, a lot of analysts have said it's that last, getting it to exactly 2% or in the neighborhood, that's probably the bumpiest part of the process.
That's right. And we're seeing a little bit of variability in the month-to-month numbers. I think the good news is, and particularly at the consumer level, that we had some difficult comparisons in late 2023, early 2024. Those are going to wash out of the data over the next few months. So that will bring down inflation on a year-over-year basis. And then we are starting to see slower rent growth, and that is gradually working its way into consumer measures of inflation. And that should help push inflation back to the 2% objective, I think, by the spring of next year.
And then when it comes to hiring, of course, it's Thursday, which means it is initial jobless claims day, falling by 4,000 to 217,000 in the week ending November 9th. That's the lowest number since May. And it sounds like that rolling average is hovering between, topping out around 220,000 as of late, give or take on either side. What kind of a portrait is this painting of the job market? Because you have a lot of different takes on what's actually happening in the world of employment these days.
The labor market remains solid. I think that we continue to see good job growth. We obviously had some weak job growth in October, but that was due to the Boeing strike, and those workers will be coming back. That was due to hurricanes Helene and Milton, which weighed on job growth in October. But I would expect to see strong job growth in November, better of 200,000, excuse me. And then the unemployment rate is, right around 4%. That's historically a very good unemployment rate, and I think that President-elect Trump will be entering office with a very good labor market.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, taking on the challenge of building your own home.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
If you're looking for a new home, you may want to consider the possibility of building it yourself. Let's look at ways to make that happen with Steve Kurtz, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Steve, thank you for joining us today. And building your own home, when you imagine that mental image of building your own home, you assume that the person who wants to build a home as opposed to buying one walks into the contractor's office looking like the Monopoly man, carrying two sacks of money behind them. But it seems a lot more attainable than you would commonly believe.
Good afternoon, Rob. Yeah, you know, that image with the money bags is pretty much what custom home building is going to lead you to, because there are so many more variables when you're starting from scratch. Building a budget is more difficult. You can kind of get a ballpark figure by maybe using, you know, price per square foot for your neighborhoods. But really, when you're talking about building your own home, having it custom designed and custom built, there's so many more moving parts to that than there are in just going out and buying an existing home or a new home from a production builder.
Now, if you buy a middle-class home today, either a new build or existing construction, even on the low end, we're talking about maybe a $400,000 or a $500,000 mortgage for a single-family detached. When you're building a home yourself, where does all the money come from and where does it go? I mean, obviously, you have to buy the land. What are the expenses beyond that? And at the end of the day, could that be lower than what you could pay on the open market for an existing build?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. Whenever you buy an existing property, part of your purchase price is for the land. If you're building a custom home, that's the first thing you need to know is, where are you going to build it? Most custom home builders today don't stock land or lots in inventory, so you're going to have to find either a vacant lot somewhere, buy a home that you're going to tear down. The financing on that is not like a straight mortgage. When you're buying an existing property, you're going to have to get a construction loan and also generally, a mortgage at the end of that time if you're not paying cash. And there's not really, you know, once you get started in the process, you may not know exactly what those finished numbers are going to be. And the other thing is, construction loans generally are not fixed rate loans. They're variable rates. So your costs can go up and down during the cycle, depending on how long it takes you to build that home. So the cost can end up being less if you're very good at it or have very good contractors working for you, but there's also a chance that you could end up spending more.
In addition to having the financial stomach for it, you should also have just the patience to see it through to the end, because I think we all have done a renovation project in a bathroom or a basement or a kitchen, and that can be pretty stressful and run over budget and go longer than the anticipated timeline. Now imagine the whole house being that process. You have to be pretty patient and willing to go with the flow.
Exactly. And that's, just times 10, right? Your bathroom remodeling. And you might run across materials issues, supply chain issues, construction issues along the way. You may change your mind about some things as you're looking at the house as it's developing. That's why a lot of people do build custom, because they have more flexibility. But again, that can all add to your costs and can add to the time it takes to finish the house and get you in it.
I would also imagine that the person or couple building this home should probably be simpatico on a lot of things before they actually start building the home, because if you disagreed about wallpaper in one bathroom renovation, now imagine that times 10.
Yeah, that's true. This kind of custom home building is not... it's not for first-time buyers. It's not for people who haven't lived in an owned home and who don't, you know, we're talking about people really who are building a dream home, building it to their own specifications. And you have to have a really good idea going in what that's going to be. You're going to need your own architect, most likely, your own general contractor. There's a whole team of people you're going to have to help you with this, and you're going to have to direct them for the most part.
Steve Kurtz, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a well-known satirical publication wins the bidding for the InfoWars media platform.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The satirical news publication The Onion has bought Alex Jones InfoWars and related assets at a bankruptcy auction. Let's take a closer look at the purchase with Kerry Flynn, media reporter with Axios in New York. Kerry, thank you for joining us today. Now, the figure is the exact amount that The Onion submitted to purchase the InfoWars intellectual property, social media accounts, and so on and so forth. That number has not been made public yet, but multiple reports say that the lower bid won. They took the lower bid just because the PR value of this was just simply too good to pass up.
That's true. We don't know the exact financial terms of the deal. They were not disclosed in this. There were some reports that there was another bid from someone who's perhaps more friendlier to Alex Jones that was in the seven figures. So regardless, it likely wasn't small. But what we do know is that the families of the victims of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, which Alex Jones spewed conspiracy theories about, and that's really why this came to be, those families personally sanctioned the Onion's bid. And we're willing to take a lesser payout due to this this winning bid. So it's really just when it comes down to a major win for the families that they were personally happy with who now owns the InfoWars, which, like you said, is a satirical news site.
Now, this is a combination of The Onion and Every Town for Gun Safety, which was the gun control advocacy organization that came to pass after that shooting massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut in December of 2012. Now, the Onion says it will continue on more or less as a tongue-in-cheek version of InfoWars. Now, Alex Jones, he still has to pay the Sandy Hook families $1.5 billion, and he believes he is going to land somewhere with an alternative platform that will be InfoWars in all but name only.
Correct. Alex Jones said no matter what happened in this court-ordered auction, he'll continue to share his views on the world in another platform. He's already, in response after the news came out of The Onion winning InfoWars, he posted on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. He spoke out against the sale and promoted his new social media handles. And he said, quote, "I'll keep recording until they come in there and turn the lights off." So yes, it's not the last we'll hear of Alex Jones, but when it comes down to it, the ruling of this and losing InfoWars is a very unglamorous end to his media empire. And we've seen over recent years when platforms like Twitter and Facebook also deplatformed Alex Jones and banned him from the sites, and that also diminished his power. It's why perhaps you and I don't hear his name as often these days. But as you noted, he can still share his views on other areas.
Now, but very quickly, it just seems that the Onion purchasing the InfoWars intellectual property out of the bankruptcy auction is probably a symbolic end to it, and that the Onion, a satirical news organization, you know, putting it to rest, that's probably, you couldn't craft that better if you were the best Hollywood writer.
Exactly. Well, to your point, not only putting it to rest, but actually relaunching it, rebranding it as a parody site. It's a mission to raise awareness about how cruel conspiracy theories can be. And like you noted, The Onion is partnering with Every Town for Gun Safety, a nonprofit that fights gun violence as his first sponsor. That's a nod not only to the Sandy Hook mass shooting, but also to one of the Onion's most viral headlines, which is, quote, "No way to prevent this, says Only Nation, where this regularly happens." And so we'll continue to see stories like that from the Onion, raising awareness and, again, diminishing the power of conspiracy theorists. And the CEO of the Onion actually said a reason why this happened, why he was motivated to happen, is people online told him, wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't this be the funniest thing that had ever happened? But it's not only a wild headline, but it's also an important mission.
Carrie Flynn, media reporter, Axios in New York. Thank you for joining us today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. There's strong reaction to President-elect Trump's choice for Attorney General. Charges are now filed in the murder of a woman on Chicago's South Side a year ago. In Technology Thursday, there are ways that oversharing on social media can put you and your family in jeopardy. The cryptocurrency market has reacted very positively to the election of Donald Trump. We'll take a closer look. WBBM Business, markets are lower. The Dow is down 163 points. The NASDAQ is down 48. The S&P 500 is down 19. We have 53 degrees right now in Chicago under cloudy skies, topping out at 54. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. President-elect Trump's choice for Attorney General Matt Gaetz has given up his seat in the House. It ends a House Ethics Committee investigation into allegations of sex trafficking. Meantime, Republicans Don Bacon and Max Miller are among members of Congress who are openly questioning the nomination.
Boss Todd, if you don't have anything good to say, say very little.
The president is smart enough and his team is smart enough to know that Mr. Gaetz will never get confirmed by the Senate.
It's unclear whether the ethics report on Gaetz will be made public. A 37-year-old man from Chicago is under arrest, accused of the killing of a woman on Chicago's South Side last year. Joshua Mims is charged with first-degree murder and felony arson in the death of 32-year-old Raquel Adams. Her body was found inside a burning home at 64th and Damon with a gunshot wound to the head last November. Mims was taken into custody this week by Chicago police and the U.S. Marshals Great Lakes Regional Fugitive Task Force. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are lower today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hanlon, National Investment Strategist with the U.S. Bank Wealth Management Group in Minneapolis. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And let's take a break from assessing macroeconomic conditions and start taking a look at individual companies once again. Disney shares up 7% in early trading today after the company reporting better than expected fourth quarter results, boosting the Dow, and the company also getting a boost from strong streaming growth. So has Disney turned the corner when it comes to making money off of Disney Plus?
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. Always happy to be on here. You know, kind of taking a look across company earnings reports and individual stock performance. You know, one thing that's kind of interesting to us is how little we're hearing from companies about their outlook for 2025. You know, we think that had a lot to do with the election and uncertainty heading into those outcomes. And for us, we think it's probably less of an individual company outlook here. I think it's more of a broad market perspective on, you know, the path is higher for markets. You know, you talk about the election outcomes. It was a Republican sweep, but it was also kind of a clean sweep in terms of what drives markets. You know, interest rates are heading lower, inflation is stable to lower, and corporate profits are headed higher. So we think that's a great trifecta for stock prices to continue to move higher from here.
Well, and then and also we have another read on inflation that came out today, the producer price index that shows that once again, the fight against rising inflation, it's inflation is not over, but the rate of price increases appears to be leveling off and those price pressures appears to be dissipating, shows once again that they're on path to that 2% target.
Yeah, you know, inflation is, as we call it, kryptonite for stock prices, just in terms of valuation. As long as inflation is stable to headed lower, that's a headwind or a tailwind for stock prices here. You know, I think the big report that'll come up, we got the inflation print, but, you know, it was a very noisy job report that we got from the October jobs report in early November, right before the election of the Fed. That was due to a lot of hurricane-related influences or auto industry influences. We think the November job report in a couple of weeks here sets up to be a pretty more important event to see what the Fed may or may not do at the December meeting.
Now we have the consensus still seems to be that the Fed is going to cut by a quarter point at their December meeting. And while equities have been on a tear, especially since Election Day, because investors can dream of tax cuts and a friendlier regulatory environment in the next administration, the bond market, though, is telling a different story. And that is the 10-year yield has gone up by quite a bit, especially since Election Day. And what is the bond market telling you?
We think the bond market is telling us it's a positive growth environment. We don't think it's necessarily pricing in a lot of inflation worries right here. I think, you know, in general, it seems like the Fed's got at least expectations for inflation under control. So for us, we see the move higher in bond yields reflecting expectations for stronger growth. You know, one of the things we talk a lot about with clients right now is just kind of practicing some good investment hygiene here. I mean, investors have been able to earn 4.75%, 5% in cash. And with the Fed, you know, expected to continue to lower interest rates, those money market yields, those cash yields should continue to move lower. So we think there's great opportunities not only to kind of lock in some of these bond yields, not just treasuries, but high-grade corporate bonds as well. But also we still see, you know, upward bias to equity prices and an opportunity to start getting invested there too.
And then very quickly, as we turn the corner into 2025, obviously, the rubber will hit the road as far as an extension of the tax cut bill from 2017. You'll get the weeds of policy early next year. But what's the consensus, the belief? What do investors want to see out of the holiday shopping season this year?
Well, we're going to get kind of the early print tomorrow on retail sales, and then we still have some retailers yet set to report. We still got Target and Walmart and other big box retailers. Those will give us a great look through not just the aggregate consumer spending, but kind of what's going on within different income cohorts to see if there's still some challenges for lower income versus, you know, middle and upper income consumers. So we're going to start to see a pickup in some of that information. Our perspective is, in general, we think it sets up for a pretty good holiday shopping season again, which supports our kind of glass half full outlook for equity markets heading into the new year.
Tom Hanlon, National Investment Strategist at the U.S. Bank Wealth Management Group in Minneapolis. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, why revealing too much on social media can be dangerous.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and this afternoon we're discussing some of the pitfalls tied to oversharing on social media. Let's get some expert advice from Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. And before we begin, I want to say that you can see Jerry and others talking about the promise and pitfalls of TikTok in a panel discussion we recorded a couple of weeks ago called TikTok on Trial. It premieres on our social media channels starting tomorrow. And one of the things, Jerry, that we talk about during that panel discussion is how oversharing, whether it's on TikTok or other social media platforms, can be turned against you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there was a lot of information in that TikTok group where the influencers were really explaining the dangers of telling people your location. That's both a physical and logical danger, because physically, somebody can follow you there. And, you know, for women who are out at an event, or people who are out at an event, they can be molested, they can be burglarized, they can be attacked. But logically as well, you can, if people know you're not at home, you know, they can go to your house and steal from you. Now, the other thing is if they know you're visiting a location, they can use that as information in phishing scams to grab additional information from you and then send you malware. So there's all kinds of problems with over, you know, telling people your information, both physically and logically.
And one of the things that we talk about in this video is that social media gives you a voice, and sometimes you may be inclined to use it more than you should. Because how many people on Facebook, I'm at the airport, it's vacation time, we're going here. And I have come around, you know, thanks to our conversations, Jerry, I'll do it after the fact, after we get back. I'll say this is where we've been, and not where we are right now, if I share it at all. So I think that's one way in which you can avoid falling into that trap. Another one is, you know, thanks to AI, people can clone your voice. Now, Jerry, I think I'm in an entirely different category based on my job, but I have noticed that if you do use post videos to websites or podcasts, someone can use that voice sample that you upload and clone your voice for phone calls to scam money out of people.
Absolutely, and they can use your video image to create a video while using your voice, and it's very easy to do. The AI does not need a whole lot of words; they just need more sounds, and then they can create the words, you know, by just using the sounds that you have used in normal speaking. So, with a 10 to 15 second clip, they can almost mimic 100% of what you're ever going to say.
Now, this is something I've noticed a lot, and that is I get a lot of junk phone calls during the course of a day, and I don't even pick up the phone anymore. But is this another way in which scammers can get a sample of your voice when it goes to voicemail? Can they use your voicemail message as a potential way to clone your voice to scam somebody else?
Yes, and they're actually looking for you to say some specific words. So that when they go in and try to use your voice to create an account, they can use the words that are out there to help set up those accounts. So, yeah, you have to be careful. If you don't know the phone number, don't answer it, and you know, leave as little information on your voicemail as possible. As a matter of fact, you can use the automated answer within your phone system, so that you don't have to use your own voice. Just let it say the number is, you know, nobody is at the number at this time.
And then in general, as people audit what they post on social media, have people dialed back on their oversharing compared to, let's say, several years ago because they're beginning to learn these lessons? I mean, just to my own observations going on Facebook or going on the former Twitter or Instagram, it seems that people are a little more cautious about talking about where they are and what they are doing at a given moment.
I think that's a hopeful perception. I'm not sure that it's really accurate. I mean, you can go out on Facebook or different, you know, social medias, and you can find people's names of their brothers and sisters, their aunts and uncles, their birth dates, special occasion days. And so then when you go out and try to reset somebody's password, it comes up and says, well, what's your birthday? What's your brother's name? What's your maiden name? These are all things that can be used for secret answers to reset a password. As a matter of fact, Sarah Palin, during the election years ago, her account was hacked by a 20-something just going out trying to make a point. And he was able to hack his her account by using the dog's name, her daughter's birthday, etc. So people don't understand, the more information you give and then you use that information for something else, it's really giving hackers the ability to grab your data.
Jerry Irvine, CIO, Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. Thank you for joining us.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have rallied in a major way following last week's election of Donald Trump as president. Let's get an update from Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Find him online, senecalcapital.com. Bill, thank you for joining us today. I want to say that maybe the cryptocurrency markets are truly are partying like it was 2017. But the election of Donald Trump last week was also the culmination of a lot of political contributions by cryptocurrency players. They really felt that the if the Republicans swept into power, it would be good for the cryptocurrency space as far as regulation is concerned. And is that what's driving the rally over the past week?
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. I would say you're 100% spot on. Going back a couple of years ago when the Securities and Exchange Commission, the FDIC, the banking industry created this thing called Operation Choke Point, where they really did their very best to attenuate and choke off the entrance ramp and exit ramps in cryptocurrency. So companies like Coinbase and other pro-cryptocurrency firms kind of created a political action committee in order to move forward this technology. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just for Bitcoin. It wasn't just for the monetary value. It was the fact that we were losing this, just like artificial intelligence, we were losing our competitive technological edge to those people overseas. And I think that was really the impetus behind what could have been potentially $130 million of donations across the election race. And I think we had, when I say we, I mean the cryptocurrency community may have had a 100% win rate in terms of the number of seats that were taken back from pro-cryptocurrency, pro-blockchain candidates. So it was seen as a huge win for this technology group of people.
And then very quickly, Bill, is it too late as an investor to get involved in this? Or were you really rewarded for jumping on it on last Wednesday? I mean, could you get into a cryptocurrency, let's say ETF, and ride this train as far as it can go?
Well, there's two answers to that. One is that, they say about real estate, don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait. And in some respects, that applies also to Bitcoin especially. But I'll be honest with you. I just posted something on Facebook today where it is technically overbought, about 150% overbought on its 10-week moving average. So I'm expecting a little bit of a pullback from 93,000 down to the low 80,000, maybe high 79,000. But long-term, you people who are in Bitcoin are in it for the long-term, not for a short-term trade. So short-term traders, be careful. Long-term, maybe wait for a little bit of weakness before allocating some of that in the ETF space.
Bill Uliveri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview, thank you for the update on cryptocurrency.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.